we're going to look at our next intervention with belief, with submodalities, which is the belief change. And this works in a very similar way to the contrastive analysis. It's just an extension of that. So why would we want to do it? Why would we want to go about changing people's beliefs? Well, obviously we're looking to change limiting beliefs. They're not beliefs that are good. And the reason why we do that is because a belief affects somebody's potential. And any their potential affects their ability to act, and their actions affect their results. And their results they're producing will then reinforce their belief. So therefore it becomes like a downward spiral. So one of the beliefs I used to have was that I was never going to be able to have a business of my own. I'm never going to have a business of my own. I'm always going to be employed by somebody else. And that belief I changed to, I'm a successful entrepreneur. So using these techniques really works. Personally speaking, I use this particular technique in line with pain. So I use some of like the repatterning process that I do at FYD, and I would use this in addition to that personally, and it will work without that as well. So if you think about it, your limiting beliefs that you have are really the excuses that we make. Everything, every excuse you have is a limiting belief or a limiting decision. So again, remember, when you're doing this kind of intervention, first thing you want to do is find out what the problem is. This is when you're doing it for real, if you like. Find out what the problem is. What's the next thing you're going to do after you've found what the problem is? When you've gathered the information about the problem and you've elicited the negative beliefs, for example, what's the next thing you're going to do? Leverage, exactly, leverage. We're going to apply pain to having the belief and pleasure to having the different belief, as in what do they want instead, which will come out of the analysis stage. And then the third thing we're going to do is we're going to do what? What's the next, what's the third process we do? Third thing we do, third step in master steps. The third master step is? Exactly, yeah? Pattern interrupt. That's what this is. This is a both a pattern interrupt, and it's also moving on to step four, which is create an empowering alternative. Okay? They're all here in this step. So this doesn't have, because remember, this is the episode steps I gave you on traditional NLP. So the extra step of finding out what they have and what prevents it, that's an extra step. And definitely the leverage is a definite an extra step as well. And let's take a look at it, because there are two elements to this particular intervention to make it work. The first thing we're doing is we're eliciting the unwanted belief. So we're eliciting the submodalities of the belief that is disempowering, okay? So you elicit the visual, auditory, and potentially kinesthetic submodalities. Then you'll break state. And then what you do is elicit the submodalities of a belief which is no longer true, as in they used to believe it, but they don't believe it now. Now here's the reason why we do that. And that is the way that person codes in their head, the way they know it's not true anymore, is held in the submodalities. So what we then do, of course, if we then change the submodalities of what they believe to be true that's disempowering, to the way they've set it up in their head, of way they code a belief or something that's not true and change it over, then the belief, they won't be able to believe it anymore. It'll become more shaky, they have more doubt about it. All you're seeking to do with this intervention really is create doubt, a confusion over whether they believe it anymore. Okay, because that's the pattern interrupt, putting them into confusion. Because they feel very certain at the moment that this belief is true, that they are this way, or they can or they can't do this. So if we shake it by messing around with the submodalities and putting it to the same as the belief that's no longer true, they'll have doubt about it. Okay? And that's what you want. You want them to have doubt about that belief. Then we test it. So we'd say, we'd obviously ask the question. So now, what do you think about your old belief? And then what we're doing is we test, and what we're looking for in our test, by the way, what's the most important thing whenever you test anything in NLP, what's the one thing that you're looking for? Yeah, change of physiology, yes. There's something specific to do with what you're looking for, a type of answer you're looking for. You're looking for an answer that is completely congruent. You must be absolutely convinced this person is totally congruent with it. So do you remember when we did the demo? Do you remember when I asked her, is it totally okay with the unconscious mind? It was like, you know, yeah, today, yeah. As in what she meant is only today. So what I then had to do, what did I do at that point? What did I do? I went back and did more leverage, didn't I, yeah? And I also did something else. Did you notice what I used for leverage? What did I use? I used a metaphor because she was stuck there. So I thought, okay, what can I do? Went inside, thought, what can I do to shift it? Came inside and come up with a metaphor. I thought, what is this like in my head? Well, this seems like it's an abusive relationship in my head. The chocolate is controlling her is what I had going on in my head. So I chunked out, what's another example? What's this an example of? Abuse. Went across, abusive relationship, came down. Have you ever been in an abusive relationship? And that's how I developed the metaphor, suddenly, very quickly. You know, it worked, so good. So then, once you've tested to get the congruent answer, the next step is, if you look at the bottom, we've got, there is no three, because it's confusing if we put a three in. So step one and step two, if you like, or one, elicitation one of the unwanted, elicitation two of the belief no longer true, and we change one to be the same as two. And the second thing we do is we elicit a belief that the person has that is absolutely true for them. So it could be that their name is whatever, or they believe that the sun will come up, or that it's a good idea to breathe. And just very, very quickly elicit the submodalities, because there is a way the person codes that in their head. It doesn't have to be in one of those. It doesn't have to be necessarily a universal experience, but just something the person absolutely believes to be true. Elicit the submodalities. And then, what we then do is, the thing that they told us they wanted instead, i.e. the belief they want to have instead, all we simply do, we don't have to elicit the submodalities of that belief, the belief they want instead, because there's no submodalities to elicit because they don't believe it yet. All we do is we change those submodalities into the submodalities of the belief that's absolutely true. So we have them put that belief into the submodalities of the one they had before at number four. Was that clear? Okay, good. Let's do it again. Are you clear up until test? You clear up until this point, because there's two elements of this. There is taking out the old belief and then installing the new belief. Yes? So up until test, we're taking out the old belief. We're putting doubt about the old belief. And then what we're doing is we're installing the opposite of that. We're installing the belief they want to be true. Okay? So what we do is, to begin that, we elicit from then a belief. What? Ask them the question, do you have a belief which for you is absolutely true? For example, believe the sun's going to come up. Do you believe that? Or believe that it's good to breathe? So good. As they got that, we say to them, okay, as you think about that, do you have a picture? They say yes. We elicit the submodalities and the auditory and the kinesthetic, if they are any. And then what we say, okay, what would you like to believe instead of that old belief you used to have? And they say X, that's what I want to believe. I'd probably do that at the beginning personally, rather than at this stage. So you do that in your fact finding. So then you go, okay, as you think about that old belief, the one that you want to have instead, do you have a picture? They say yes. you say, okay, great. So what I want you to do with that picture is I want you to make it bright. I want you to make it colorful. I want you to make it whatever the submodalities of that you gained in four, you force those submodalities for that person, for that belief that they want to be true. Let's go step by step through it now so you can see it written out. So what we're doing is eliciting the unwanted belief and then eliciting the belief that's no longer true. And we're changing one into two. Test, done. Next step. Then what we do is we elicit the belief that there's absolutely true for this person, like the sun's going to come up or whatever it might be. And it could be something personal, it's fine. But so that is absolutely true for them. And then all we do is we get the new desired belief they want. So have them phrase it, whatever it is. The belief is that I'm strong and powerful. Or being young means that I am totally energetic. Or being old means that I'm wise and I can have X, Y, Z. Or be whatever it is, the belief that they want, that's the antithesis of the old belief. And then we just force the submodalities of that to be the same as the absolutely true. You do not need to elicit the submodalities of the belief that's new. We simply ask the question, do you have a picture? And they say yes. We say, okay, so here's what I want you to do. Make sure that picture is X, Y, Z, da, 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 da. Got it? Do that. Great. You say, okay, great. And make sure that if there's any submodalities in the auditory, put those in as well, and the kinesthetic. If there isn't, then you don't need to. Let's go step by step through the script now then. So we start off, go for the script with me, say, do you have a belief that you wish you did not have? Yes. Good. What is it? They tell you what it is. You say, okay, as you think about that belief, do you have a picture? They say yes. If they say no, you say, okay, could you have a picture? And you list the submodalities. And then we go into number three. Do you have a belief which for you is no longer true? For example, the belief that you're 15 years old, which used to be true, but it isn't true anymore. Or the belief that Santa Claus is real, the belief that you go to school, or something like that, which used to be true for you, but no longer is. They say yes, they're good, what is it? They tell you, you say, oh, as you think about that old belief, do you have a picture? Now, the language is very important because it's structured in such a way to have you not elicit these things or install them, but have you elicit them rather than install. Because if you say to them, you know, if you say to them, can you make a picture? Okay, that's different. Where is the old belief located? For best results, location should be significantly different to the unwanted belief, same as it is for the like to dislike. Then go ahead and elicit the submodalities of the belief which is no longer true. And then what we do is we go ahead and change the submodalities of the unwanted belief, so we're doing our mapping across of the unwanted belief into submodalities of belief that's no longer true. And then we say, okay, so once that's done, we've tested it, and again we're looking for a congruent answer that it's done, and the person has doubt about that belief now. So we then go, okay, do you have a belief which is absolutely true? Like, for example, if the sun is going to come up tomorrow, do you believe that? Or the belief that it's good to breathe, or whatever it is. Good, what is it? As you think about that old belief, do you have a picture? And again, go ahead and list some modalities. And then we like, okay, so what would you like to believe instead of that old belief that you used to have? Listen. Language. What were we presupposing? Presupposing change. There's a time presupposition in there. Good, what is it? And as you think about that belief, do you have a picture? They say yes. They don't say, okay, good, could you have a picture? And then we say, okay, and then we go ahead and we change the submodalities of the new belief into the submodalities of the belief that is absolutely true. So we just force them to be the same. Finish up, test, Now what do you believe? Okay? And have them say, so why do you believe this new belief? That really confirm it to them, why they believe it to be true. Have them convince you. One of the major frames that I would suggest that you use, and you saw me using it briefly here, but wasn't very overt, but I did use it, and that is have the person convince you that they're right, that they have changed. So you say, like I said here, look, come on, try really hard. You used to be good at this. Convince me. So have them convince you that they've really changed. That's a major, major piece.